Everyday carry. Yes. Everyday carry. Not only is it something that we have in life to where those things that we put in our pockets or put in our purses right before we walk out the door, because it's the things that we need every day to use. It is the same for us in our Christian life. And in order to be a Christ follower, there are some essentials, some everyday carry that we have. And it's a good way to define who a Christian is and what our purpose is in life. And so what we've done is we have taken five words. And so these five words, I want you to repeat them after me, because these five words are part of our Christian everyday carry. They are trust. That's kind of like you say it with me. Are you ready over here? Okay, ready? Trust, obey, abide, go, and share. Trust, salvation. There comes that time where we trust Christ for our salvation, to know that he has built a bridge between us and God, and to know that we had sinned and we were separated from God, but because of his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, that he has conquered sin and given us the opportunity to come into a right relationship with God. And when we trust him, then we come into that relationship with God. And then once we trust him, then we take that step of obedience, and that's where obey comes. And that is to be baptized. Doesn't save you, but it's the first step after salvation. It's that step of obedience. And it hopefully sets the pattern for the third word. And that third word is abide. And that is discipleship. And discipleship is that change that happens on the inside of me because I walk with Jesus and I learn from Jesus. And it is, I am the branch and he is the vine. And as I abide in him, I get that life-giving force for me to be able to produce fruit. And then as we heard Todd share last Sunday, is that word mobilize and that word go. That as soon as we become believers, then we have to be ready and willing to go wherever it is that God has called us. We have to be mobilized out into the world. And so then we come to today's word, and that word is share, and that is built on evangelism. And evangelism is just telling people who Jesus is and what he's done in my life. It's where you want to share the good news with them. Hopefully, they will make that same decision to receive Christ as Savior. And so we have our five words, our five everyday carry: to trust, obey, abide, to go, and to share. And so when we look at share, we look at this word, there's one question we need to ask, and that is, why share? So why share? Why do we need to tell other people about who Jesus is? Why is that a part of our everyday carry? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons. First of all, it is God's plan. It is God's plan. This is the way God laid it out for us. If you have your Bibles, you could open them to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, in verses 9 and 10, he talks about that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with the heart that man believes, and it is with the mouth that he confesses. And so when this justification and this righteousness, all this takes place, he says, then you will be saved. And then he comes to verse 13 and he says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord may be saved. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord may be saved. Now, this chapter was written, to place it in context, is the Apostle Paul is writing to a church in Rome and he's talking about the situation of the nation of Israel. And that when the nation of Israel has heard this message, they have not responded to it. And so he's trying to figure out, where did the ball get dropped? I mean, they have not called upon the name of the Lord, but it says everyone who's called upon the Lord will be saved. And this is a question not just for them 2,000 years ago, but it's the same for our generation. And so what Paul is saying is, over these next few verses, is he's trying to figure out, why has everyone not made this decision for Christ? And he does some connecting links in a chain. Follow this. I want you to read verses 14 through 17, and I want us to put on the screen out of the New Living Translation. And he says it this way: but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, "Lord, who has believed your message?" So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Now, in that passage of scripture, you begin to see these links that Paul lays out. And this is the links. Number one, he says, in order to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus. All right? In order to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus. Well, in order to believe in Jesus, you have to hear about him. And he even says in verse 17, faith comes from hearing, hearing the good news. So, in order to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus. In order to believe in Jesus, you have to hear about him. But in order to hear about Jesus, someone has to tell you. And in order for someone to tell you, someone has to be sent. So he just keeps breaking it down. These are all the links in the chain. The only way we can be saved is to believe in Jesus. Well, how can I believe in Jesus? Well, someone's got to tell you about him. Okay. So I have to hear from him. And in order for me to hear from him, someone has to tell me. And in order for someone to tell me, they have to send me. This is God's method that he has established for evangelism. And his method is for individuals to share the gospel. How will they hear if no one tells them? This is how he's planned it out. This is his plan. And so when we think about, as believers, everyday carry, what do we take? We take trust, we take obey, we take abide, we take go. And then that share one is the one we like to kind of keep on the shelf. But it's an everyday carry. It's an everyday essential of the Christian life. Because he says, the only way for salvation is through Jesus. The only way they're going to know if someone tells them. The only way someone's going to tell them if they're sent. Share. It's a part of God's purpose. Second, it is your purpose. This is God's plan, and it is your purpose. Now, you look at verse 15. In verse 15 of Romans 10, it says, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" How are they to preach unless they are sent? Now, I've heard this verse all my life. And this is a verse that usually we'll hear at ordination services for preachers when they're setting preachers apart to proclaim the gospel. We will have this verse read when missionaries are being commissioned to go out. And they're great verses for that. But the problem with that is when you read this verse and you read specifically what it says, how are they to preach unless they are sent? For the rest of everybody else out here in the worship center, you can sit back and take a pass and say, wow, I'm glad that's not me. These guys have got it. They're the ones that are sent. Thank goodness for them. We'll cheer for them as they go and share their faith. And then I can take that share word and not include it in my everyday carry. But you see, when you read this verse, it is a good verse for people that are going and set aside for ministry, and a good verse for those that are commissioned to go into missions. But it's a verse that applies to every one of us because we are all sent to share. This is not just a handful. This is all of us as believers. Let me show you two different sections of scripture just to drive that home. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul has just said that when we receive Christ, we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And then in verse 18, look at what he says. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All right, stop for just a moment. What does it mean to reconcile? That means that you are separated from someone and all of a sudden they've reconciled. They've brought you back together. And what Christ did, he brought us back together into a relationship with God. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Because we've been entrusted with this message, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, and we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We, as Christ's followers, have this ministry of reconciliation. We, as Christ's followers, are ambassadors for Christ. We are representing the King, and we are to share his message with others. That's pretty good stuff. But let me go a step further. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter, writing to Christians in Asia Minor who are under persecution. And as they're going through this persecution, he's trying to encourage them to kind of hang in there. And look how he describes them in verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at that. Wow. You are a royal priesthood. Back in the Old Testament, when God chose the nation of Israel to be his nation, they were to be this kingdom of priests, this royal priesthood. And they were to live their lives in such a way that all the rest of the world would know who Jehovah God was. But you see, they turned away from God. And then when he sent his son, they even rejected him. And so now all of a sudden, those who've made their decisions for Christ, these are the people to where he says, you are now the royal priesthood. You are this kingdom of priests. And you have been given this message to tell the rest of the nations. You are to proclaim the excellencies of him. When it says you're a royal priesthood, the word priest, when you dig down into the meaning of a priest, it really means a bridge builder. Because this is what a priest is to do, is a priest is to take a person and help them get to understand how they can have a relationship with God. They're to lead them in that direction. It's like they're sort of building this bridge by talking to them and saying, this is how you can get to God. You get through Christ, but I can be the one that can explain that to you and help you to make that decision. He said, that is who we are. We're a bridge builder to get people to God. We're to help others to get to God. And then when you get there, he says, we're to proclaim his excellencies, the wonderful acts of God. That God has called us out of the darkness of sin and he's brought us into the light of his incredible love. We're to proclaim those excellencies. So here Peter is talking to people that are going through difficult times and who are suffering for their faith. And he says, you are a royal priesthood. You get the opportunity to declare and proclaim the excellencies of God. And when you think about all the excellencies of God, you always come back to the cross and say that God loved me so much that he sent his own son to die on the cross for me. And I praise God for that. And to know that I can come in that right relationship with him because of what he's done on the cross and because the tomb is empty. We get to do this. And so every Christ follower, I mean, anywhere and everywhere you are, you find yourselves as bridge builders. Bridge builders to God, proclaiming his excellencies. We are a walking, talking advertisement for the virtues of God and for what it means to be a believer. We are his children. We are this royal priesthood. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so in our lives, just the way we live our lives, in the things that we say, we should be this walking advertisement for him. And we need to verbally share the excellencies of God, who he is, and what he's done. Share. It's an everyday carry. It's an everyday carry because it is God's plan. This is how he set it up. It's an everyday carry because it is yours and my purpose to share and tell other people. But I want to go a step further and say it is your privilege. It is your privilege. It is your privilege to share. When I looked over those last two sections of verses, you know what jumps out at me? Look what he says. This is who you are. This is us right here in this room, those who've made decisions for Christ. This is who we are. We're entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Something about me loves the word entrusted. Entrusted means that there is something valuable and somebody can trust me so much that they take this thing that is valuable and they give it to me and say, I'm entrusting this to you. And he has taken the message of reconciliation, and God could have chosen any way he wanted to do it. But you know what he did? He took that message, he entrusted it to you and me as believers, and says, I want you to tell others. you have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. He says, you are an ambassador for Christ. Ambassadors. In the political world, people line up hoping they can get appointed to be an ambassador. Guess what? As soon as you made your decision to receive Christ as Savior, you are an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to start putting on my resume. 8 years old, I became an ambassador. Yeah? 8 years old, I received Christ as my Savior. And then guess what he did? He says, hey, I'm going to call you to be an ambassador, Danny. You're an ambassador for Christ. We are ambassadors. We are sent by him. And what an ambassador does, an ambassador doesn't give his own message. He gives the message from the one who sent him. And so my message is not Danny Wood's message. It's God's message. And this is what God has said, and this is what we share. And this is that plan of salvation. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're a royal priesthood. My goodness. We are people who help build this bridge for people to get to God. We are the ones who get to proclaim the excellencies of his name. All of those things. It is a privilege that we get to do that. And when we look at the privilege that he's given us, and we get ready to every day to leave our house, to move into this Christian walk, and we love to pick up that trust because we want to have that salvation. We want to pick up that obedience because we followed him in baptism. We want to pick up that abiding because that discipleship, we want to continue to change on the inside to let Christ work through me. And then we pick up that go and say, send me wherever you want to go. But you know, I really don't want to have to share anything, but I'll be more than glad to go where you want me to go. And we like to take share and leave it on the counter and say, maybe there'll be a special time to pick that one up, but I'm not going to do it this week nor the next week, maybe on down the road. It's an everyday carry. And the reason it's an everyday carry is because it is God's plan. It is your purpose, and it is privilege. At the end of verse 15, I love the end of verse 15 when he talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You know, anybody that brings any kind of good news has beautiful feet. You know? Then they don't have to take their shoes off. Those are just beautiful feet when someone gets to bring the good news. And we love it. It's beautiful feet of the doctor that walks into the waiting room of waiting parents and grandparents and says, it's a boy or it's a girl. And sometimes he says, surprise, it's twins. And they go, beautiful feet of the coach that gets to look at that young boy or young girl, look him in the eye and say, you made the team. The beautiful feet of the doctoral committee that gets to look at that person who's done all this work and says, your paper is accepted. You know, it is the beautiful feet of that real estate agent that comes by and says, they took your offer. Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet of your wife when she says, hey, for lunch, we're going to Superior Grill and get Mexican. Beautiful feet, right? Beautiful feet who get to share the good news. How beautiful the feet of the one who brings the good news of Jesus. We get to be those people. I've been in situations in my life when something good happened to someone and they will say, do you want to be the one to give them the good news? Have you ever had somebody ask you that question and you go, nah, I don't really want to do that. Hey, I'll jump on that. Really? You want me to have that opportunity? Yeah, we want you to tell them that good news. Boy, that's great stuff. That's what we get to do. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Now, what I'd like you to add is not going to come up on the screen, but if you wrote down there, it is your privilege, could you write next to it and just put parentheses, it's your passion? Your passion? My mom is 93 years old and is going strong. She lives in a, I don't know what they call them. They sound like kind of like a senior adult facility. I don't know if they get their feelings hurt when you call it that. It's a nice living community for people that are older, okay? And so she's 93 years old and she's got her apartment there. And then she had her apartment. She had a lot of help to fix it up between my sister and then her kids. And Janice was able to throw in some ideas and everyone comes in. And she really has this nice apartment and it's fixed up like home. And so it's called Kingsbridge and she is referred to as the Queen of Kingsbridge. And she loves that. And when people are looking to consider moving into Kingsbridge, oftentimes they will use her apartment as the model apartment for people to come by and show this is like an apartment you could be living in. She loves that. And so she is so proud of her apartment and loves the fact that they come in. You need to understand that so I can explain to you this story. About a month or so ago, there was a board meeting for the North American Mission Board that I had to travel up to Alpharetta to be a part of. And she is in a part of Atlanta that's here. It's about 20 minutes or so from Alpharetta. So that morning, I was going to meet her for breakfast. And I was going to meet her for breakfast there at Kingsbridge. And I went up to her room, and I met her up there, and I got her key. And I said, I'll lock the door for you. I did it. I locked the door. We got on the elevator. We went back down. And we go. We have a wonderful breakfast, meet some people. My sister came. We all got to talk. And I took her key, and I placed it in my back pocket. Now, for me, everyday carry for me is I take the car keys, and it's in one pocket, and I have my work keys, which is a separate pocket. The two do not meet. And usually, I just stick it in my hip pocket. So I'm used to walking around feeling a key in your hip pocket. We finished eating breakfast. It was great. I said, I got to go to my meeting. I've got to be up there at 10 o'clock. I gave a hug to her, said goodbye to the 63 people she tried to introduce me to, and I kept walking out. Thank you. I'll send my tape. See you. It's good. Good. Have a good day. So I'm out. I drive. I get there, and I'm sitting in the parking lot, North American Mission Board, and I'm kind of emptying my pockets of things I don't need. I reach my back pocket, and I pull. It's her key to her room. Now, when you're a 93-year-old woman, you don't have a key to your room, but yet somehow your door got locked, people will begin to ask questions. And I was a little nervous. So I quickly got on the telephone, called my sister, and I said, hey, I ended up taking mom's key. And I said, I don't think there's any way she can get back into the room, and I don't want them to think that she's crazy, that she lost it somewhere, because she didn't. It's her son who has it. I said, okay, fine, we'll work something out. I've got an extra key and all that. I walked in, and Kevin Ezell, the president of North American Mission Board, I told him my story. He said, well, let me just get someone to go take that key to her. I said, oh, yeah, no. Chandler brings this guy. Guy's 23 years old, just a real nice-looking, sharp guy. And he said, will you take this key to Danny's mom? I gave him the instructions. And before he left, I said, hey, Chandler, do me this favor. I said, when you get to the front desk, I said, will you have them call her and ask her to come down so you can give her that key? I said, the reason I'm telling you that is because as soon as she sees you, she's going to say, oh, you're such a nice-looking young man. And I know she will. And that'll just make your day. Will you do this? Yeah, fine. He goes, he does. I'm in meetings all day. Late that afternoon, I get in my car, call mom, said, hey, mom, I'm so sorry about the key. Hey, did you get your key? She says, well, yes. Yeah. She says, they had called me from the desk. I just hung up the phone, and I went to open the door, and that young man was right there. And he's such a nice-looking young man. I know. I said, well, good. I'm glad you got your key. She says, and I'm invited him in. I said, whoa, what? Yeah, I invited him in. I showed him all my apartment. Oh, yeah, I showed him every picture. I went, no, you didn't show him every picture. Yes, I pointed out all the paintings that Janice had done, put those on the wall. And then, you know, I put those new plates out there that I put for the season. And so I showed him all the plates. I go, no, mom. Said, oh, it was just great. He's such a fine young man. And so she goes on, and I'm just about dying. I said, I can't believe you took me and went through that tour. The next day, I get with Chandler. I said, Chandler, oh, thank you for doing that. I said, how long were you in her room? He says, 30 minutes. 30 minutes. I said, oh, gosh. And as I walked out of there, I was just shaking my head. And then it hit me, and I said, my mom is so passionate about that apartment that she has and how they fix it up, and she just wants to tell everybody. And if you come by, she's going to tell you. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if I had that same passion to be able to tell people about who Jesus is and what he's done in my life to where it just like overflows? And to my mom, it's just natural when someone comes close. I need to tell you about this. For me, when anyone comes close to my life, there should just be, I should just exude with it to where I say, let me tell you. Let me tell you about the one who's changed my life. So see, this is why we are to do this. Well, then the question is, well, how do you do that? Well, there are a lot of ways to do that, a lot of ways to share. But there's one thing that we have talked about at our church and we've introduced, and it's called the three circles. Three circles. And it was developed by Pastor Jimmy Scroggins down in West Palm Beach, and it's really taken off. And it's just a great, easy way to tell people about who Jesus is and what he's done. And what's so good about it is it's something you can take a napkin out and just draw three circles and talk about. So let me just show you what it's going to look like. The first thing that you will see in the presentation is the first circle is God's design. And that is that God has designed us and he designed this world that it would be, everything would work in harmony and everything would be perfect. And there would be a design for you and for your job and for your family. There was this perfect design that God had. But something happened. That's what's called sin. And sin is anything we do against God. And instead of going with God's design, we wanted to be selfish and do our own thing. And when we do our own thing that goes against what God's teachings say, it results in brokenness. And that's where we are today. We have a world that is broken, and we have individual lives that are broken. Because we've gotten away from design, there is a brokenness. We all feel this brokenness. So the question is how do I get out of that? So we began to come up with our own ideas. And sometimes we try to invest it in things in our world that we try to work harder or run faster or whatever, but it doesn't cure the brokenness. And then we try to do some of the things that the world encourages to do, to get involved in certain addictions and other things that will cause pain and hurt. And it just makes the pain worse, and it makes the brokenness even stronger. And so many people live right here. In the midst of this brokenness, in the midst of this bad news, what people would need would be what we call good news. And what good news is it is the gospel. And it's what we've been talking about this morning. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God knew that we were in this brokenness, but he loved us so much that he didn't want us to have to stay in that brokenness. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins. And then raised him from the dead. And when he did, he raised him from the dead so he could prove what he said, and that is that he could forgive sins. And he could prove who he said he was, and that is the Son of God. And when he provided that, that is the good news for us to be able to get out of our brokenness. But there's one thing to know it in your head, but you've got to go a little bit deeper. It's what we call both believe and repent. You need to believe exactly what was just said, what Jesus has done for us, but then we need to take action. And that is we confess our sins and we repent. Repent means to change your direction. And instead of running away from God, we'd like to run back towards God. And we'd like to live according to his standards and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we accept him. And so once we've made that step, then we come into our recovery. To where we pursue and recover. And this means we're pursuing God's design. Our life now has a different look. We pursue it and we want to recover the design that God has for us. So we can live a life that is according to his will and to his purposes. And then the great thing is that when we do this, God doesn't just take us and set us aside. He keeps us in the world so that we can talk to others who've gone through the same situation and help carry them through this cycle. And then just keep repeating the process. Keep repeating the process. Three circles. Anyone can do it. You can take this and you can download it on your phone. It's such an easy thing to do. And in your worship guide, when you open up your worship guide, I think it's the middle panel near the top, it gives you some instructions for how you can download this. You can download this to Android or iPhone. And when you do, it comes up, it's like Life Conversation and Life on Mission. And it'll just swipe it. And when you swipe it, each one of these circles comes up. Each one of these words will come up. Almost does it for itself. a person makes a decision, you go to the next screen and it tells you the next things to talk about and gives them some next steps to take. There's even a 2.5 minute video of someone showing you how you can do it, how you can even draw it out on a napkin. So I encourage you to make that a part of your everyday carry, okay? Make it a part of your everyday carry. We need to share on there. So that's what we do. That's why we share. That's how to share. Let me just give you this last one. And that is the results of sharing. The results of sharing. I shared this a year and a half ago. And so I think it's good for us just to see again the power of being able to share your faith. And I may not have all my dates strictly in my head, but I got the people. Are you ready for this? One of the people in our Chinese ministry, Yan Si Zhang. In 2005, she made her decision for Christ. She grew up in China. She was living in Sydney, Australia for about 10 years. And in 2003, she and her husband, they moved here to Birmingham. They moved to Birmingham. Someone invited them to a concert. When they invited to a concert, some of our Chinese believers began to talk to her. And as they began to talk to her, they got them involved with Dr. Wong's class. And in the midst of that, in 2005, she received Christ as Savior. She's a realtor. And as a realtor, she comes into contact with a lot of people. She didn't know anything better, that she wasn't supposed to share her faith, so she shared her faith. It was her everyday carry. And then over the next 10 years, 7 people came to receive Christ as Savior. And so these 7 people came to receive Christ as Savior, but something important happened down the road. And on down the road, her mother-in-law and her mother came to visit. And when they came to visit, she shared her faith with them, shared her story with them, and her mother-in-law received Christ as Savior and was baptized here, and her mother received Christ and was baptized here. Her mother went back to China, and when she went back to China, she shared her story, and when she shared her story, Yancy's sister made a decision, and she received Christ. Her brother did not receive Christ, but her sister had. And at this point in time, her husband had not made his decision for Christ either. Well, there came, and I believe it was 2014, there was a graduation that took place for their niece. So the brother and sister came back here to Birmingham for the graduation of her niece. When they came back, her brother received Christ as Savior. The niece also received Christ as Savior, and both of them were baptized here. As they were getting ready to be baptized, Dr. Wong went to their house to explain baptism. When he was explaining baptism, her husband was listening in. Dr. Wong looked at him and said, "Would you too like to make your decision for Christ?" So he made a decision for Christ also. And just when you think this story is going, it's not over yet. In 2016, her father-in-law, who was in his 80s, who was raised in atheistic communism, came here to visit. And as he comes to visit, Birmingham is the cradle of civilization and salvation. We just want to let you know that when he came over here, they took him to a gospel camp. And a presentation was made, and to their surprise, when they gave an invitation, he raised his hand. And so at 80-plus years of age, he made his decision for Christ and was baptized here in our church. One person, with everyday carry, said, "You know what? Share needs to be a part of my everyday carry." And you can see just the effect of just that one person. And then you could take that flow chart and then go on at the other lives that were impacted all because of that. Everyday carry. When you pick up all the other items, don't leave off share. Okay? It's God's plan. It's our purpose. And it's our privilege. And it needs to be a passion. And we can do this. And we can share this. And when that happens, then the results will happen of what God's asking for us to do. You see, there was a hymn that I grew up with, and it's called "When We Walk with the Lord." Some of us knew it as "Trust and Obey." But in the old hymnal, and we would sing this a lot of times in our church and sang it as young people, it says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, and he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in that last stanza of that hymn says, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet or we'll walk by his side in the way, abiding. And what he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, just trust and obey. Everyday carry. Trust, obey, abide, go, and share. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the essentials that you've given us to help us to know how we are to walk and to what it means to be a Christ follower. And Lord, even in these closing moments, I want to pray for those that are here in our congregation who, just in that walking through those three circles, may say, you know, my life is more in the brokenness area, and I've never received that good news. And I pray that today, that they would make that decision. And just right now, make that prayer to you, a prayer of repentance and a prayer of belief, of confessing their sin, of saying, Lord, I know that I've sinned and I've messed up and that separated me from you, and I'm so tired of living a life that is broken. And then believing that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and that he conquered sin and death through the resurrection and has a desire to come into their life, to cleanse them from their sins, to take away all that unrighteousness and to set their feet on recovering God's design for their life. And Lord, for those people, I just pray they can pray that prayer right now and ask you to enter into their life, knowing that you, as a good God, will answer because of your promise that for all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, Lord, help us as believers, we walk from this place, that we would every day be conscious of the everyday carry. And may we have the boldness to tell others and to share with people the good news of Jesus Christ and help them to walk into a relationship with you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray.